Hello, everyone. Welcome into another episode of Kentucky Daily, a daily podcast covering your University of Kentucky Wildcats. I'm Sean Smith, joined by Derek Terry. Derek, how are you?
Sean, I'm doing well. Happy to be on here. Happy to talk some football this first episode and then get into the mailbag in the next episode. It's been a little bit since we did a mailbag, but happy to be here. Terrible weather, though. Terrible.
Yeah, not the best weather at all. It actually needed some rain, though, but now everything's flooding down this way again a little bit.
How old are we? Saying we need some rain. I feel like my grandparents.
I already know how old I am. I'm officially old. Super old. I'm starting to feel it every single day. But so old that we couldn't even find time to really do this episode on the day that he committed, but we decided to put it out here on Friday, or at least wanting to get it to you. But Kentucky did land Ole Miss transfer Jaquez Jones. It's a big-time addition, Derek. We're talking depth. Anytime you can add the leading tackler from a team in the SEC, or honestly, the leading tackler from any team to a roster, I mean, you're getting a quality piece, and that's what Kentucky's getting.
Yeah, when I look at this addition, I think it's – I guess the word I would use is logical. Kentucky has a need for experience at inside linebacker. Jones, well, I don't know if he's going to be a superstar transfer addition, is someone who has played a lot of football in the SEC. He's someone John Summerall, the inside linebackers coach, is familiar with from coaching him for one season at Ole Miss. So he basically is going to provide, you know, I think he'll be more for sure than just a warm body in the middle. I think pretty good chance he'll start next to DeAndre Square. But it gives, in my opinion, an opportunity for the younger guys in the room to not have so much on them right away.
Yeah.
This will give Jerry Casey more time to ease himself in. He's someone that I think the staff is very excited about. I would be very surprised if he doesn't play somewhat of a big role, probably as much of a big role as a backup can play. And then Trevin Wallace is the other guy. I don't think there's any doubt that he's going to play a lot this season. So once Derrick Jackson got hurt, I think this became an idea that Kentucky, I don't know if they would have pursued Jones so hard if they knew Derrick Jackson was going to be there. But with him being out, this provides some needed depth and experience, I think.
And, yeah, you mentioned all the experience that he has. He's played in 33 games in the SEC. That's a big deal. Another thing, too, Derek, how big is this? He has 2 years of eligibility remaining.
Yeah.
So it's not just a one-year thing. Like, it could be a two-year thing with him. And when you're talking depth in the SEC, that's a really, really big factor when you include that into it.
Now, I don't know this to be true, so I don't want people to get their hopes up, but people I trust, there seems to be some thought that either Jones or DeAndre Square will be there next season, despite the fact that they're both, you know, true seniors. Neither one of those guys redshirted, and that's obviously why they have 2 years left with the COVID, extra year COVID. So things change. We're just in June. I don't want that to be held against me if it doesn't happen, but I do think that was the thought there, is that at least one of those guys will be back at Kentucky in 2022. But, yeah, like you were saying with Jones, I mean, he's a two-year starter. The 1 year that he didn't start was his freshman year, and he had 36 tackles and made the All-SEC freshman team.
Yeah.
But this past year, he led Ole Miss with 75 tackles, and then in 2019, I want to say he was second on the team in tackles. So what I don't know is just the peer-level talent. I mean, again, I'm not saying you should be expecting you know, Brian Urlacher coming in. He was the first middle linebacker I thought of. I don't know why I thought of Brian Urlacher, but I did. He is someone, though. What I like most about it, Sean, and this is where I think the transfer portal is a great thing in some ways, there won't be any kind of adjustment needed in terms of the level he's playing at. I mean, he's played in the SEC West for the last 3 years. I mean, lining up against Florida, lining up against Georgia, this is going to be nothing new to him. Whereas with some other transfers, you know, a more traditional thing that we used to see, maybe it was a guy transferring up or a guy transferring to a new conference who had played in the Big Ten or something. I just don't think there are many question marks in terms of Jaquez Jones adjusting to Kentucky. So, again, I'm not saying this is going to be an all-SEC talent. I don't know that he will be, but – to me, it makes all the sense in the world why UK pursued him. And I think he's a good addition, especially the leadership role that he can play in helping guys like Trevin Wallace, Martez Throw, or some of those young guys, even Luke Fulton, some of those young guys on defense adjust. So I think it's a smart move.
Yeah, and he was a highly rated guy out of high school, four-star guy. What was he? Was he as high as number 10 inside linebacker, according to ESPN, in his class? I'm pretty sure. So, I mean, so this is a talented piece. I can't remember how he performed against Kentucky. I'm trying to look it up. Seven tackles last year in that win at Kroger Field. So he'll be joining the, I guess you could say, the good guys this time. But it's
– He's 1-0 and yeah. Kroger Field.
But it's a big deal, though, when we're talking depth. And, I mean, that's something that we've talked about with this program, Derek, for the last few years, is the depth that they're building at, across positions. And this is another example where you're getting a quality guy. This is where the transfer portal helps you. Yep. Obviously, you lose guys in the transfer portal. But when you're looking at what Kentucky's lost and what it's gained, I think what they've gained kind of outweighs what they've lost when you're talking the positions with Levis and all these other pieces. I think the transfer portal has been really good to UK, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. That was actually the next point I added, so we're on the same page there. For this first season anyway, Kentucky –
not even mention Wandale.
No question. He's probably going to be, without doubt, the biggest transfer addition. But for this first year that you could say with the transfer waiver going into play, you look at the losses UK had and what it gained, and there's no question that this was good for Kentucky. Now, will it be the same next year? I don't know. I think, Sean, the more we get into this, the more it's going to kind of ebb and flow. I think you're going to lose some guys that maybe you thought had some good potential, but you're also going to be able to gain guys like this. I mean, Wandale Robinson started at Nebraska. Obviously, he was a very big player. He had history with Kentucky, but came back. Jacquez, not really history with UK, but somewhat of a history with John Sumron. Again, I don't know. I mean, it was just one season, and I think I want to say Jacquez Jones is already signed with Ole Miss. I'm not even sure that Sumron actually recruited him. But he did coach him for 1 year, so you do have the connection there. But then, you know, you talk about Will Levis. I mean, I know he's a backup at Penn State, but you look at this team and you could have three guys right there that we just named starting the first game of the year, all that were via transfer. Now, Will Levis, even in a normal year, would have been able to play because he's a graduate transfer. But that's still the flip side, though, is that you were able to add – I think there's no doubt Jones and Robinson are going to play big roles next year, and I think we expect Levis will. And I'm probably – who else are we forgetting? I know they got Trayvon Morgan and Luke Fulton, but those are two guys – that I wouldn't expect to do a ton this year. Is there another one that we're not remembering? For some reason, I think they have six transfers, but I could just be wrong.
I'm trying to remember
real quick.
I'm trying to remember exactly.
I should add that Jones is going to count towards the 21 class as well. So that's going to put that class up to 19 scholarships, I think. Or no, that's just on high school guys. 18. The other transfer I didn't mention was Justice Dingle. I know I was forgetting one.
Yep.
So, Justice, I think he will play quite a bit, especially behind Josh Pascal at that defensive end spot. So, I think that was an addition that you maybe don't expect the same type of impact of those first three guys that we mentioned, but still someone who is going to be a rotation piece. So, yeah, you look at what they lost versus what they gained. I'm going to say for this first year, it was a success. And I don't know if they'll add anybody else or not. I mean, it's getting late in the game at this point.
It is. It is for sure. I mean, we're just months away from the regular season. I actually submitted credential requests for SEC Media Day, like two days ago.
I know it's here.
So, I mean, it's here. Like, I mean, we'll be at SEC Media Day in, 6 weeks, I believe, somewhere through there, 6 to 7 weeks.
Yeah. It's July 20th, I think.
20th is when Stoops speaks. So, I'm looking forward to that, actually. Booked hotel and everything yesterday because it feels like we'll actually get something normal. So hopefully Kentucky Daily will be bringing episodes from SEC Media Day.
We're going to try to get on Radio Row down there.
Yes, I think we should. Maybe I'll tell some funny stories about my last experience at SEC Media Day too that I can't say right now.
You want to keep that to yourself.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe 20 years from now when I decide, hey, I'm done with this. But I guess overall, Derek, before we wrap this thing up, what do you think, and we're going to get into this with position previews, and I know we'll get into it more in depth, but just overall with this defense, I know a lot of the talk has been about the offense with a new offensive coordinator, quarterback battle, Wandale Robinson, all these pieces. What do you think about this defense, though, from top to bottom? Now that they've added some more depth with a guy like Jones, you take a leading tackler from another SEC program and throw it onto a defense that already has a lot of talented pieces on it.
Adam Luckett pointed it out yesterday, all the experience. I think it was yesterday. How many seniors could take the field? I think it was 9 guys. And when you look at each level of the defense, you see experience. On the defensive line, in terms of starters, you're going to have Josh Pascoe and Marquand McCall, both seniors. At linebacker, probably 3 senior starters. I'm going to say Jaquez Jones starts next to DeAndre Square, and then you got Jordan Wright out at the edge. And I really don't know what they're going to do at strong side, honestly. Maybe – I don't think it's going to be a senior, though. I mean, I think KD McDaniel is like one of the few guys they have playing over there. But then in the secondary, Cedric Dort, Ty Asian, Yusuf Corker, maybe Devontae Robinson starts at nickel. Like, that's a lot of senior experience that you have. I think the defense – I think this helps shore up the middle for sure. You need at least 4 guys, I think, at inside. I mean, that position, especially in Kentucky's defense, at any school, at any level, the inside linebackers get beat up a lot because they're up near the line of scrimmage making a lot of tackles. And I think this gives you legitimately 4 guys. I'm going to say Jones and Square probably start. I'm going to say Jared Casey backs up DeAndre Square. And I think Trevin Wallace is going to be backing up the mic. And I think there's a more than decent chance that as the season goes on, his role within Kentucky's defense will increase. So still some question marks. You know, you got another defensive line position. You got to wonder who's going to start there. But, I mean, Kentucky has been pretty good at least producing solid defensive linemen. Maybe not guys that are out of this world talented, but guys who do their job, do it well. J.J. Weaver, when he gets back, that's – I think he's a guy that can take the defense to another level, but after his injury, you know, when will he be ready? Yep. It's hard to know at this point. It is. I think he adds a big element, whether it's the first game or whether he has to wait a few weeks to get ready when he comes back. I mean, you can make an argument that he was their best defensive player by the end of the season. Yep. So
– ton of potential too.
And I talked to – for our yearbook, it's embargoed, so I can't really say too much about what we talked about. But I talked with Frank Bufano yesterday, one of the secondary coaches, and I was talking to him about the blend of experience with youth, and he seemed very excited about the blend, and it is a good blend. You have guys like Corker, Asian, Robinson, Dort, who have played a lot, and then you got the young talented guys like Jalen Geiger, someone they're talking a lot about, Andrew Phillips. We saw Carrington Valentine a lot last year. The idea is by the time that these guys who are seniors – Quandre Moser was another guy I meant to add at corner who's a senior. By the time those guys are gone, you're going to have these other guys who are just going to be getting a lot of dose of SEC football this year. And then those guys, you can just kind of keep passing it down. So that room is very balanced. I think they've done a very good job balancing out that class.
Yeah, they have. And two, another thing as we wrap up here that I think is huge is it's good to see these guys getting those Wednesday afternoon get-togethers that they have. What they have over there at the football complex, and you get to see them. They're shooting basketball. They're eating good food. They're having a good time, and they're able to be together. I think that's a big deal. And on the football side, we've talked about that with basketball in a normal off season, and football's getting to do that now. And I think that is huge as well. But we wanted to just hop on here, and I know we're a day late, but we wanted to get something out there about the commitment of Jones and or him signing with Kentucky. As always, this episode, it's powered by Blue Wire Pods. It's also powered by the Butcher's Pub, 3 locations, 1 in Pineville, 1 in Williamsburg, and 1 in London. You can visit thebutcherspub.com or check them out on Facebook. He's Derek Terry. I'm Sean Smith. We'll catch you next time on Kentucky Daily.